Good afternoon, gardeners. Welcome to Garden Planet. You're with Selena and...
Karen. Good afternoon, everyone.
Hey, pipe down, girls.
Yeah, get out of the studio. What are you doing in here? I'm not talking to you, Selena.
Oh.
Although you did used to be a book chook.
They want to join us, Karen.
I know, and it's awesome because we're actually going to be talking about chooks in the garden. Let's get into it. We'll explain what we mean, listeners. Yeah. You're going to love this one. Okay, so I have free-range chickens, and Selena does.
Well, one.
We're down to one.
Yeah.
Wonderful asset. And after doing a little bit of research on the topic, I already, you know, it's one of those things you think, oh, yeah, I know all about that, yeah. Then you delve into it, and it's like, oh!
And you find out all these things that you never knew.
Well, yeah, kind of had a feeling or an irk, but didn't really know as much as I thought I did. I knew that they are, well, I kind of feel like all of God's creatures have some sort of useful component. That's why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
As we learn, even wasps, remember Alan was telling, even that they have their useful component other than stinging and frightening people and animals. But chickens too. You know, some people are a bit wary of having chickens near their crops and gardens and whatnot. And that, for obvious reasons. I mean, they peck and they eat all day.
And they poo.
And they poop, yes, as well. But and that can be a problem for some people.
But they can help us, can't they?
But they can really help. And look, to be honest, my chickens are a pain in the neck sometimes. Like these ones we just had to shoo out now.
Yeah.
They just always seem to be in the wrong place. And they seem to love, baby vegetables, little seedlings. Yum, yum, yum. Much more than, say, a slug, which is the thing I'd rather they go for. But there's ways around it. We're going to discuss that today.
I find, Karen, that you have to show them who's boss, like who's the head hen.
Oh, right. So have you ever tried herding chickens before?
Herding them?
Well, you work in a school. Same concept.
Well, you kind of have to call them and bribe them with food.
Oh, yes, bribery, yes. So anyway, within the garden, they're actually wonderful role players, I'll have you know. And everything from, I'm going to get technical here, from like, let's say like a commercial perspective.
Okay.
Or corporate. They're part of the corporate.
The poultry world.
Yes. Inwards, outwards, goods officers.
Eh?
So, yeah, they're inwards, outwards, goods officers. They're also labourers.
Yep.
And also make for a great quality control team. And I'll touch on, those are the three roles that they play.
Hold on, are we doing a job description for chickens?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they have to apply. They have to be all these three things, and they are, and I'll get into it. Do you have any idea what I mean by inwards, outwards, goods officers?
Inwards, I know the outwards part.
We all know, yeah. Well, that's kind of to do with, like what they eat inwards and what comes out. So they're nutrient providers because what comes out is really, really useful for your garden.
Mm.
Chicken poo.
And bonus eggs.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a cream.
And even the garden, even the gardener can use the shells.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's that. And by general labourers, we'll get into that. They till, they aerate the soil, all that kind of thing. And by quality control, I'm meaning pest control assistance.
Yes, very important.
Yeah.
I mean, all those bugs, insects, they're omnivorous. And they'll peck all the little bugs that you can't see and that you'll miss if you spray.
Yeah.
On the undersides of leaves and in the ground.
Yeah.
Really good.
Did you find out anything more?
Not just that they are really good at, that detail of finding those bugs.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And they've got those, they just know where to go.
How do they, anywhere where there's sort of organic matter, they're in with a grin. If they could smile. Maybe they are. But isn't it, they're quite incredible creatures how, or I think any bird is, how they've got, their eyes can pinpoint something, a little, tiny little bug, yeah, in the, on the earth, and just, boom, gone. Far better than we could.
Exactly. I mean, how tiny are these insects? Like, even the little nymphs and the larvae.
They go for those real little ones too?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And they don't even need spectacles. I wonder if Selena's got one chicken left called Martha. She must be getting on now. She'd be what? Probably about five years old. Five?
Yeah. She's getting on a bit. She's got some white feather. She's an Australorp, which is a black-coloured hen.
Yeah.
But there are some little grizzle white feathers.
Right. I'm noticing that with my black hen. She's not five. She'd probably be 2.5. And she's starting to get the grey and white flecks on the top of her head. It's funny watching her change. But she's still got the attitude. She's still laying and is still a productive member of my garden society. So she can stay on. I'm happy. So I was going to touch on nutrients. Now, if you have a chicken coop, I do and I don't. They just nest up on my shelves, on my deck. I tried making them a chicken coop around the more appropriate side of the house and they just refused to use it.
Well, I've got what used to be a rabbit hatch, but Martha doesn't go in there. She goes in the little cage we've got instead.
They're stubborn. They've got a mind. They're like cats. They're like a feathered version of cats. They've got a mind of their own. So my chickens, they've just decided to roost up in the shelving on my outside deck area. Which is fine. I don't actually have anything. There's just a bit of hay, sort of. It's not the prettiest deck because of them, because they tend to, they're very messy because they scuff their feet all the time. There's just hay everywhere and feathers everywhere. But when I clean it out, because the thing about chickens is it's weird. They poop in their nests.
Yeah.
Some more than others, actually, I've noticed. Yeah, it's like having a flatmate that is messy and my two chickens are complete. One does it heaps and the other one not at all and makes way more mess and poops everywhere and fills up the nest and the other one doesn't. But anyway, so isn't it interesting how different they are?
It's kind of like their nappy, that nest, I suppose.
Yeah, so what do you do with
What that? I do is, so we've got hay or straw that Martha nests on. And every week or so, it gets soiled. So we just put it in the compost.
Yeah.
Or we chuck it on the garden and then put fresh straw in there.
And that's exactly what it says to do on these websites that I was checking out. Because I do that too. But the thing I love about this job is that I can always just double check that what I'm doing is actually the right thing to do. And, fun fact, I found out that it is fine to chuck your bedding, the chicken's bedding and poop onto your compost, but it needs to be a hot compost pile.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, do you know what that is?
Well, it's hot.
It's basically any compost pile that's got all the right organic matter in it that encourages... Oh, I'll give you a definition just to make sure that I give the... It's so the temperatures rising in a hot compost pile come from the activity of numerous organisms breaking down organic matter. And a hot pile requires enough nitrogen-rich materials to get the pile to heat up.
Okay.
So that's the key thing there.
Yeah.
So, guys, basically, if you want to know if you're doing the right thing with your compost and that it is hot and that there's enough activity, what do you suggest the listeners do?
Well, a lot of compost bins are, the ones that you buy are plastic and black, so you site them in a sort of warm spot.
And how can they check that the temperatures?
Well, they've got if you've got a thermometer, that can help.
Do you know what I do?
What do you do? I don't know what you do, Karen.
I stick my hand in the middle of it.
Okay.
And then I'm like, yep, that's hot. It's really weird. Have you ever done that?
Well...
I suggest everyone, it's a must do at least once. Stick your hand, if you must put a plastic glove over it, that's fine, but in the middle of it, and you will feel warmth.
How warm it is.
If it's a good hot compost pile.
Okay.
So
it might be steaming.
Yeah. You can tell on a cold day if your compost heap's steaming, and that's good. It's a good thing, guys. A good steaming heap of organic matter.
Okay.
Right. So moving on, what did you find out about them being good general labourers in the Garden Society? How are they contributing that way?
So they scratch and peck and sort of just the topsoil. They turn it over and they will eat the weeds as well.
Yeah.
So little weed seedlings that pop up, they'll eat them.
And even weed seeds. Because, of course, chickens love grains and seeds.
Yeah.
So that's a bonus. So they're a part of the aeration department.
Yep.
And also a part of the tilling department.
Their claws are like little rakes.
They are. Mr. Harvey Ussery, in his book The Small Scale Poultry Flock, he uses what he calls tiller chickens.
Oh.
So what he'll do is he'll plant a cover crop, which is, I'll give the listeners an example
mustard.
Of a cover, yeah, or legumes.
Lupins.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
A crop that you would plant over your crop when it's dormant, when you're not like actually growing vegetables and fruits. And that those sorts of crops will add value to your soil. So anyway, have the chickens till the crop, okay, once it's grown, and then that prepares the garden beds for planting.
Excellent.
So
yeah.
And by tilling the crop, they manage to get all the whatever cover crop you planted all mixed in there.
Yep.
Wonderful little mixers. You're good to go.
Have you heard of the chicken tractors?
Yes, he mentioned that in his book.
Yeah.
He calls them a chicken tractor, or he just uses fencing. But yeah, basically he drags a coop or something behind his...
It'll be on wheels.
Yeah.
But it'll have space, open space. It's just like a portable playpen for the chickens.
Yeah. And they're quite happy in there because as long as they've got something to scuff and something to eat... They're really quite simple.
Mm.
You're good to go. So you can just pull it around and let them do all the tilling for you.
The thing we need to be careful of is to separate the chickens from your areas that are planted up.
Yes.
So you might need to protect or plant your seedlings in trays away from where you're going to plant.
Definitely.
Them
we've all been there, haven't we, Selena, where you've very, as I touched on at the beginning, very delicately planted out your seedlings and then next minute, you come out and there's just like potting mix scattered far and wide and the chickens have no idea what took place. But
so
it was delicious.
I find the best thing to do is to put chicken wire, that's what it's there for, as a netting, is just covering your areas where you've put freshly planted seedlings. So,
I read somewhere placing your compost pile, because there was this one lady, she just has her compost pile in the chicken run.
Oh, yes.
So she might have a chicken run in the... all fenced with chicken wire or whatever, and then the chickens just go for it and aerate it, till it, all that, and you just, they
you
do all that
it.
For you and you just chuck it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you're saying, fenced compost area within the garden itself. Hey, the Vermont Compost Company, and that's in the US, I forget what state it was, they use over 1,000 chickens to create commercial compost. Quite a big... production.
Okay.
So that's one of their, I think they've got an array of different composts.
That's pretty cool.
But if you want a manure-based compost.
Yes.
They've, and I saw pictures of it, and they've just got these massive piles as high as a house.
Yeah.
Just covered in chickens, just going for it. I couldn't believe it.
Because what the chickens are eating, and they're converting it into like easily digestible minerals and nutrients for your plants.
So the last thing I just wanted to touch on was the pest control aspect of chickens. We talked about it at the beginning. Now, it's important to maintain a balance of beneficial insects and detrimental insect pests. So you imagine if you've got a heap of chickens. I've only got two. I used to have three.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, I used to have 10, but let's not go there. That was out of control. Too many. One of the reasons I was saying in my research was then they eat all the too many beneficial insects as well as... There's a fine line. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if there's a precise number per acreage.
Actually, I did find out...
Did you?
...the number of chickens you're allowed to have. If you're under 2,000 square metres...
Yeah.
...the Auckland Council says you're allowed to have up to 6 chickens.
Okay.
And if you're over, you can have up to 12. And if you're on, like, a lifestyle block or a farm... is unlimited.
Wow. So, 2,000 square metres.
Yeah, so that's probably two quarter acre sections.
Okay. It seems like a lot. Well, I definitely
You were
overdid
over the limit.
Somehow my chicken ended up having babies. The father mysteriously disappeared, nowhere to be seen.
Oh.
And another neck minute situation. I didn't see her for a few months, and then all of a sudden I saw her appear with 10 little ones behind her.
Checks.
And also, touching on that, you're not allowed to have roosters.
No.
Only chickens.
Only girls.
Yeah.
I just want to touch on looking after your chickens. If you have them, it's a good idea to have your property fenced off.
Mm-hmm.
Not just so they can't get out, but so dogs in your neighbourhood can't get in. And, make sure that they're safe and secure inside your property. And also clip their wings.
Yeah, do you do that?
Yes. So you can clip one side and then they can't fly away. They'll be a bit...
So I used to do it, but they don't seem interested in, I think, they're too fat, I'm not sure, but they don't seem interested in flying anywhere. You just get, like, I just got a pair of scissors when I did do it.
Yeah.
And cut off about an inch off the end of their feather line, the wing part that flaps.
Yeah.
So that's how you do that if you're, it's not hard, you just sort of cradle it in your, under one arm and do it. They put up a bit of a fuss, but you're the boss, show them who's boss.
Yeah.
Like, they like it, a bit of discipline. Yeah. And the other thing I was going to mention was she said, the website I was talking about where she was talking about pest control and having the compost in the middle and all that,
mm-hmm.
She said it's better if you want to really deal with your pests in a, you know, thorough manner, is so, you know, like when you have a dormant garden bed,
mm-hmm.
That would be the time, you know, so prior to planting season, to just let them go for it. And not only helps them, you know, with the pest control, but also tilling and all that kind of thing. So
this is the time of year to do that.
Mm.
Because we've been preparing the ground and nothing's going to grow until spring, or the seeds won't.
Yeah. So before planting season, and she said, and then again after the season. She said they'll probably gobble down some weed seeds as too while they're at it. But
excellent,
yeah,
that's what we need.
And anything else you picked up on keeping chickens?
So keep your property fenced. Just protect them from the dogs, because the dogs are known to go after chickens.
Not so much cats. The cats I don't seem to have any issues with. Have you ever had a problem where they've got food stuck in them?
Not personally, but you got to be careful because they can only digest so much.
If you let them eat too much grass, what can happen is that the grass can end up getting stuck in their crop.
Mm.
Now, the crop is like the part of the intestine before it reaches the gizzard.
The gizzard? Yeah.
Where it grinds all the...
Yeah. Grinds all the food into little bits.
So what you do if they get stuck, you turn them, grab them by their two feet, stick them upside down, rub their crop, which is just on the right side of their tummy, until they basically hock it up.
Ah, okay. Have you done that, Karen?
Once.
Oh, dear.
It was not fun, but essential.
I was just going to add, feeding your chickens. Okay, if you're having them free range in your garden or fenced off, that's fine. But the additional food you need to give them would be, what do you give them, Karen?
I give them a product called Super Chock.
Oh, okay.
Mm. And it's like a mixture of corn, grains. It's got molasses mixed into it, and of course we give them our scraps as well.
Yeah.
So,
scraps are good. We give ours rice, just ordinary uncooked rice, and Martha loves it. She also loves sweet corn, so if we're eating sweet corn, just give her the cobs and she'll happily peck away.
Mm-hmm.
Another food they love is yogurt.
Oh, really?
Very good for them and good for their eggs.
I have noticed if I throw out a bit of leftover muesli, I like to have my own muesli with yogurt.
Mm.
And I chuck them out, you know, the remains of what I haven't consumed. They really enjoy that. They fight for it.
Yep, they love
it. Yeah, maybe it's the yogurt and then, of course, the grains all mixed in. But, yeah.
Cheese.
Interesting. Yes. Yes, they do. The other day I cut off a hunk of cheese because I'd run out of pellets for them. I occasionally just buy them the pack and save pellets when I'm low on cash. It's like, there's the hard times, you know, for all, them included. But every now and then I thought, I'll give them a treat. And the other day I cut off a hunk of cheese and I was just throwing out, just pulling off little segments off it and throwing it out on the lawn for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were absolutely scoffing that down. They like big hunks, like size of, cut off the end of your thumb size. And I was like, how do they get that down their beak? But they managed and they really enjoyed that. And the cats were into the cheese as well. Cats love cheese too. So it was all on the lawn, yeah.
Now, if you listeners don't have lawn, but you have acres of Tradescantia or Wandering Jew in your property, good news is the chickens love Tradescantia.
Oh.
They'll dig it up and eat it and then it won't smother all your plants.
Oh, wow.
So don't bring out the sprays. And
is that one of their favourites, is it?
Yeah, it's one of their favourites, apparently. I don't have any in my property because maybe the chickens ate them all, but yeah, if you live in the bush and stuff,
bush and we had, that was when I had quite a number of chickens. I just let them roam the bush. I had, several occasions, had some just disappear for weeks. And I thought, they're gone.
Well, the chicken's natural habitat is the bush.
And then they'd sort of just appear again. Where did you get to?
Yeah.
But we had a ton of Wandering Jew, but because they had all this bushland to explore.
Yeah.
And an array of insect life, they were, they love protein as well.
Happy as.
Yeah, they weren't quite so interested in that.
Okay. The stereotype of the chickens out on the fields like sheep, it's not correct. They're more suited to the bush in the jungle where they're originally from.
Okay, all right. So rather than maybe just throwing all your old chickens round Albany or Titirangi, how about you throw them in the bush?
Yes.
And maybe the possums or the weasels will go for them rather than the kiwi.
Exactly.
And what else? Yeah, kakapo. What else do they go for? It seems like they go for everything that's precious to us.
Yeah.
Interesting. Shall we get into? I promised the listeners last week that I would touch on the plant of the week.
Yes, our plant of the week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch.
Well, there is not a fruit that captures the essence of summer, although it's far from summer at the moment, listeners. But there's no fruit that captures the essence of summer better than the garden strawberry. Now, it's been around a while, since the 1750s, in fact, when it was first bred in France. I think that's as a domestic plant, because I assume
in the wild,
all our fruits and everything were once wild. Now, interestingly, from a botanical point of view, the strawberry is not technically a berry. Did you know that?
I had that fact in my brain somewhere.
It's an aggregate, I'll give you the technical term, it's an aggregate accessory fruit.
Hey?
Yep.
Okay.
Each apparent seed is actually an ovary containing the seed.
Okay.
I don't think berry fruits.
The interesting thing about the strawberry is the seeds are on the outside. I don't think there's any other fruit I know of.
Well, it's actually the ovaries. on the outside.
Oh, okay.
Whereas if it was technically a berry, I think the ovary...
And the inside.
...is all the flesh and, yeah, and the seeds are on the inside.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. And I chatted with my fiancé about that, and he goes, yeah, I heard that. He goes, it's a fruit, isn't it? It's not a berry. I was like, how does he... He doesn't know anything about gardening. How does he... But he loves fruit, so maybe he just had an interest there. Yeah, interesting. And do you know why we call it the strawberry?
Well, if it's not a berry, then what you said before. Oh,
well, I don't know why they've named it berry. They're focusing more on the straw
The straw. Because when you mulch them with straws, that's just a guess, though.
Yeah, I thought that too. Yeah. According to thealmanac.com, historians aren't entirely sure.
Oh.
So to answer your question,
okay.
That doesn't.
All right.
But that's it. One theory is that woodland pickers strung them on pieces of straw, and others believe the surface of the fruit looks as if it's embedded with straw. And some believe the name comes from the Old English word meaning to strew, because the plant runners stray in all directions and look as if they're strewn.
I think I'd go for that definition.
Well, you are a woman of literacy, so I'm not at all surprised.
But then we'd be calling them strewberries.
Yeah. I asked Pierre, because we were talking about this before I came today, and I said, which one do you reckon it is? And he goes, people putting it on the straw, hanging it on the straw. That's what appealed to him out of the... I don't know. I can't decide. I'm undecided which one appeals to me. So, guys... let's get on to some more practical advice with the strawberry. That's a bit of history there and botanical information. We know that June, July or winter seems really early right now to be thinking of planting strawberries, but the earlier you get them in, the more chance you get of a bumper harvest come those warmer months.
Mm-hmm. I've been planting mine.
Yes, I know, and I haven't, and I need to do that. I'm thinking about doing... wherever I've planted strawberries, and just in my sort of slight, I don't know if you can call it a raised garden bed, it just came with the house, where they, you know, it just hasn't worked out. I think it's not enough. They like a lot of sun, so you need to pick a sunny area.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this year I'm going to do hanging strawberries.
Okay, that'll work.
Yep. So in the around the deck area where it gets lots of sun. So that's what you need to do there. Give them space. They like to breathe. I think that's another reason why mine haven't done well. 30 centimetres of depth in the soil and 40 centimetres between plants. Don't drown them. Okay. Yeah. I know we want to give, you know, often it's a novice mistake. Just water, water, water. That's great. But yeah, strawberries, not so keen. That's why when you have a lot of rain and strawberries prices go up because all the strawberry production and everything, goes down. Pick the flowers. So when they first come up, it's on your strawberry plants. This will promote better growth, which I don't normally do, so I'm going to do that. And what else did I come up with? Make sure you fertilise them. Apparently they like fertilisers high in potash. Remove the runners. So you know how we were talking about them straying everywhere.
Yeah.
When they're happy, of course, they want to spread and breed.
Yeah.
So nip those off, and you can always replant them somewhere else. And also plant plenty of plants so there's enough to go around in variety. Reason being, it widens your harvest window. So you'll get some that, fruit at a certain time and others that fruit, at another time, depending on the variety. So that's always good to... It's always nice in your fruit salad to have variety. Yeah.
So looking forward to fresh strawberries.
So get on to it, gardeners.
Yes, happy gardening, everyone. Don't forget your chickens and your strawberries.
But don't plant them together. Not a good idea.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.